Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We are back in the house once again. As we continue to work through the offseason, we got some offseason workouts under the belt. Got to go talk to some of the players there. We got rookie minicamp under the belt. Next thing up will be OTAs, the next phase of that. And we'll get to see some of the guys on the field. So we'll get into some of that and what to expect with that when we get Chris Sanders on for Run TMC. We're going to look back at rookie minicamp with Chris as well. In the meantime, I want to get into some of the conditioning aspects that we got from some of the new guys that spoke. So that's what we'll start off with, and then we'll finish it off. I want to get into Treylon Burks because along those lines of the conditioning, got some really good things out of Burks. So we're going to do a whole segment on Treylon Burks. That's what we'll wrap it up with. But first things first, got David James over here hooking it up.
Yes, sir.
And look, David, you know, I will say this. I knew that the Titans were a team that consistently prided themselves on finishing longer, finishing after the opposing team on every whistle. You look at 2019, you had 14.9 points is what they were scoring in the second half. That was tops in the league. Obviously, that was under Arthur Smith. You look at 2020, 14.2 points, which was fifth in the league. 2021, it dropped down to 10.8 points. Last year, it was 5.5 points. All of these are averages in the second half. They went from 2019 to 2022. They went from first to last. That is something, along with the injuries, because we know 2021, you had 91 different players that were rostered, an NFL record all time. And then last year it was 86. So what does Mike Vrabel say to himself? You know what? Something's got to change. And one of the things that he had mentioned at locker room cleanout stood out to me because he discussed the whole concept of how you got the soft tissue stuff, right? That was something that he brought up and the repeat offenders. But he talked about the callus, right? And building the callus versus a blister. And it's really interesting looking back on that and then hearing some of these new guys speak because that's what Azeez Al-Shaair said. He said, hey, you know, all of this hard work we're doing is building a callus. Daniel Brunskill got into that a little bit when he mentioned how there's two ways of going against it. You have some who will go out and they do just enough to get in condition but not get hurt. Then they pull it back to avoid injuries. But the other approach is to go extra hard. You push it to the limit, you develop that callus, and now that mindset, that toughness mindset is built up. And he said, you look at the way the Titans play, their physicality on defense, their run-first approach. He felt that it's more appropriate for them to build that callus. I thought that was really interesting because you look, there's a video on Twitter, actually, Titans Twitter. Man, they're doing sleds. As Sean Murphy Bunning said, on a Monday.
On a Monday.
So you have extreme workouts going on. I laugh because Keith Bullock, Darren Bates, they saw the tweet and they were like, man, if that was what's going on in OTA. So now, mind you, this is voluntary off-season workouts. It's voluntary. They were like, man, I wouldn't be there. They're joking. They're obviously guys that I would probably think would be there because they both go really hard when they played. But how does all that tie into what the Titans are going to do during the season? I'll tell you how. again, Brunskill, he said that they work on, you know, finishing longer than the opposing team, right, on offense. Finishing the blocks all the way through, that's something. But the conditioning, it's more than just the physicality part of it. Because remember, it's the speed part of it. It's the endurance part of it. This is a team that offensively, they're looking to go a little more tempo, right? That's one of the ways, as we've talked about before, that they want to introduce more speed into the offense. I asked Brunskill about the conditioning and how that correlates to what it is they're trying to do on offense. And this is a pretty good answer. I like what he said here. Check it out.
I mean, I came from an offense that had that wide zone mentality, that outside zone. And so it was everything speed off the ball. Everything is, you know, how fast can we get into the defense? No false steps. We're not trying to go backwards. You know, we're trying to get the ball moving, go forwards. So that transition's been a little bit easier for me because I come from a scheme that's like that. So it's something that I'm kind of used to. So I really enjoy that, to be able to use that speed to, I mean, we have a little bit lighter guys on the O-line and we're trying to get speed off the ball. We're trying to get guys moving and get that defense thinking. So that way, you know, when we start hitting misdirection plays or things, we can get really big explosive plays that way. And so that's one of my favorite things. And so the conditioning and everything helps with that and just kind of helps us work our tempo. And every time we do a conditioning, we're doing it on Ryan's cadence. So it's like, when we start doing that, we're practicing getting off the ball. We're practicing how fast can your first step be. And like, one of our big things is being violent. And it's not just violent, you know, we're just trying to beat up the other guy, get penalties. It's not that type of violent. It's like, how explosive can we be with our first step? How fast can we be? That's kind of our violence when we do it, because like, getting off the ball, the more violent first step you have, that's what we're trying to do.
I like what he said there about the firing off the ball, and you want to threaten the defense right away, right? And you have the misdirection and you look. This is something I always said about Brian Urlacher, because I remember I used to get in intense arguments about who was better, Brian Urlacher or Patrick Willis. And I would say, listen, if you watch Brian Urlacher, the one thing that they do to him all the time is, because he's so aggressive downhill, they misdirection him and he'll run himself right out of the play. And that is something that apparently, from what Brunskill said, they're going to start doing on this offense, using a little more misdirection. So naturally, if you fire off and you influence the defense to come one way, that misdirection getting them to, you know, run the opposite way of where you're actually going to go, it's all the more better for, whether it's Derrick Henry, Tajay Spears, Rashawn Haskins, Julius Chestnut, whoever it may be. So that's something to watch. Now, when he said they're firing off the ball on Tannehill's cadence, all that is, because understand this, right? They're not able to actually have a football on the field and do actual football plays, et cetera, those type of things. These are all conditioning where, you know, they'll line up, Tannehill, Black 80, say hut, and they create that muscle memory of being able to, now offensive line, that is. You know, they create that muscle memory. Receivers, running backs, well, mainly receivers, you know, you're looking at the ball. It doesn't matter what the quarterback said. You're on the ball. As soon as that ball is pulled back, you're going. For the most part, that's how the offensive line is. But they also work more on the cadence as well. Running backs, we know what the deal is there. So that's all something to create that muscle memory and get used to doing those things. So I like how Brunskill gave us a little bit of an inside look at how they're preparing, even though they're not able to run actual plays. That being said, they're not going against a defense. Like, there's not a defense on the other side of the ball for them, right? They're all doing different types of measurements as far as, like, relays and those type of things. And, you know, it's interesting because you have another newcomer in Sean Murphy Bunting. And as I joked, sleds on a Monday. Well, that's exactly what he said. You know, he seems to have an outstanding approach. I really liked getting to talk to him on Tuesday. But here's Murphy Bunting on just his Vrabel experience so far.
I've enjoyed it. You know, we come out here, we work hard every day. We do a lot of things that other teams in the league aren't doing at this time. We're pushing sleds on Mondays. We're doing things that's different, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's enjoyable. You know, you come out here and it feels like you're working for something. You know, it doesn't feel like you're just coming to a 9-to-5 or coming to a job where you just show up, get your work, and you leave. It's like you want to be around, you want to be, and you just want to work, you want to grind with the guys that are here with you because you know they're going through the same thing. So I enjoy it. You know, I do. Wake up every day with a smile on my face. I get up early, 5:30 a.m. I got alarms. So I don't always get up at 5:30, but I open. I drank one time coffee actually the first day here, just so I can try out the new coffee maker because it was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, I wake up early. I don't really move. I just see my alarm, turn it off, and then I get up when you know it's necessary, and then I go about my day. But I enjoy, you know, coming to work every day. You know, there's days when you complain, obviously, but it's a more of a fun complaint than anything because everybody's going through it with you. So
with everybody going through it together, one of the things that Murphy Bunting had mentioned later on was he leaves work happy because he feels that they're working towards something. He feels like they accomplished something because of how hard they're going. You get that satisfaction of being able to get a solid day's work in to prepare you for how the rigorous season is going to treat your body, pretty much, long story short. So along with that, you have Azeez Alshire, another newcomer. And one of the things that stood out to me, he said he came into the building. You see the things, like they have different things on the wall all over St. Thomas Sports Park, especially like, you know, in the locker room and in the hallways. One of the things are expectations. And Alshire said he looked and he saw, said conditioning is one of the expectations. He's like, oh, yeah, that looks good. But as he said, it's real here. He joked that the conditioning is something that they stress. And it's funny because he said it kind of reminded him of being a freshman in college, you know, where you're like, what the hell is going on? You know, because you're just going so hard. And he said it's something that's unique to what he's experienced in the past. So obviously they're trying some new things. Alshire also spoke about the sleds and a little surprise participant in those sled relays. Here's Alshire.
Sean kind of put it in the best perspective. It's just, it's different. It's different than anything I've done. I can't even really compare it to college, but I feel like maybe in the sense of like just the workload, it kind of reminds you a little bit of how you are like as a freshman coming into college, and you're like, what the hell is going on? You know, they got you doing 5 a.m. workouts. You know, this is in college, obviously, but it's just like things that usually you get to the pros, and it's a lot more like, hey, man, we're going to make sure we keep you healthy, you know, strength staff and stuff like that. Their biggest thing is like, you know, the head coach gave the strength staff the keys to the car. Don't crash the car. Like, make sure the car makes it. So, you know, I understand that because you're dealing with guys, you know, even, you know, Sean just talked about playing with Tom Brady. He's old enough, you know, to be some people's dad. So it's like you have to adjust. But I know, like, we're doing the sleds, and I'm seeing Ryan, you know, who's 35, 36, whatever he is now. You know, he's played 12 years in his league, and he's doing the same thing I'm doing, falling out on the floor every day. I'm like, I'm seeing him come back in the locker room. I'm like, Ryan, I know you weren't doing what we were just doing. I'm like, yeah. So, I mean, it's just like a different mentality. And then, you know, you just understand how it can translate. And you're like, okay, dang, like I remember playing in 2021 when we came here, when I was in San Francisco on a Thursday night. Half the roster was down. Like, I mean, they don't think they had any offensive linemen. The very last offensive lineman on the team was up, who was from practice squad. And they still came in and we came here and they had beat us. And you're just like, how? Like, well, this is how. Now I'm seeing it. Being on the other side of it, you get to experience, like, all the work that was put in to get to those Sundays. So
that's it right there. You see, you know, he mentioned playing against this team and how it was. And now being a part of it, he understands the approach, the mindset. So, look, there's a lot of time to go before the season starts. We'll see how they do it in mini camp and training camp. But I wanted to just jump into a little bit about that conditioning and just maybe it's something different. It could very well be something different that the Titans are rolling out, that Mike Vrabel is introducing to these guys, and just, you know, make it a different approach. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back. Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. Run, DMT. For you. Fresh.
And now, coming to you live from Denver, Colorado, for your Nuggets, starting at point guard from Arizona State, number 12, Lafayette Lever.
And now, starring in the Jackson 5, Tito Jackson.
I called you Fat Lever.
Man, what's cracking, boss?
Yeah, you know, another day in paradise, making this thing go.
Yeah, man, that's what's up, man. Hey, we was at camp last week, man, and saw some good things. Tell me, man, what did you think about all the stuff that was going on, man?
Yeah, it was good to get out there and get a chance to watch these guys move around a bit. I definitely appreciated that. Rookie minicamp is always, it's kind of like the second part of Christmas, right? Because you know, you get to, it's like when you get to play with the toys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you get to, initially you unwrap the gift, and that happens at the draft, and you see, okay, what presents you got. And then
absolutely.
This part, rookie minicamp, is when you get to, you know, play with the gifts. That's how I imagine that as a coach, how they look at it. So I enjoy just getting to watch these guys move around. I know we can't really get into detail about the things that we saw, but still, it was a good opportunity just to, you know, you look at a guy like Tajay Spears, right? To see the juice that he has and just the way he was able to hit that top speed so quickly. I was impressed by that. He probably was the one that stood out the most to me. There were a few other guys, but who would you say?
Man, Tajay Spears. Okay, let me rewind before I say Tajay Spears. I want to let everybody know that, you know, when we came into the front door, and I came in, I had like a little tank top on. And my man TD started doing push-ups. And he only did like 5 or 6 push-ups, man. What's the deal on that?
That's all it took for me to get swole. That's all it took.
Yeah, so I want to just let the listeners know on that. But, yeah, getting back to Tajay Spears, man, he is a dude, man. And I was telling a lot of people at the gym that, you know, everybody was kind of upset, well, why didn't they get a receiver in the third round and all that stuff? I said, let me tell you something. I was up close in person. This dude is the real deal. This is the kind of guy that he reminds me of, and I'm not saying that he's like him, but he has the same kind of cutting and vision that he has is Le'Veon Bell from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm.
He is just a jump cut, but the difference between Tajay Spears is Tajay Spears is a little faster. So when he does that jump cut, boom, he just takes off. So when I saw that TD, I was like, this dude is real. I know we ain't got pads on. I know all that stuff, but what I saw, TD, he's got some juice, man.
Yeah, he could accelerate off that jump cut. I think that's the main thing. That's a good point that you made. And, you know, I'm curious because you look at individual period. He was doing some route running, and they're working on different things with him. I want to see how they are able to utilize him out of the backfield. Like, for me, like, I picture we talk about the 12 personnel. We'll get into this other guy, too, because Josh Wiley was an interesting one also.
Yes,
but
he was.
I just imagine like your 12 personnel with Wiley and Chig, and you flex those guys, right? And then you have Chris Moore and Burks on the field. They're lined up, and maybe we'll go a closer split with Chris Moore, and then you motion Tajay Spears into out of the backfield and line him up out wide. You let him do work against one of the linebackers. I think that would be a nice package, you know, a good like 3rd and 15 type of look, you know. That would be attractive to me.
Yeah, but then also, too, the 20 personnel.
Yep.
You know, two backs, zero tight ends, and three wide receivers like they did when they played against Commanders. When Hilliard, he was in the backfield with Henry and ran a little flip. I think it was like a little fake screen to Henry and threw it to Hilliard, and he caught a touchdown. I mean, you can do the same situation with Spears. But, man, the one thing I love about him, TD, his vision is impeccable, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just blowing smoke, TD. He's that dude.
Yeah, and when you marry that to your footwork, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to see the hole, but this dude, like, or the cutback or whatever it may be, the backside guy coming, whatever. It's one thing to see that, but when you see it and your brain triggers and the rest of your body's like, whoop, and makes that move, now you're doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's one of those guys that when he gets the ball, and this is just practice now, you hear everybody go, whoa. I mean, every time he got the ball,
everybody,
whoa. I mean, even I'm like, man, wow. It's not just, okay, I'm making a splash. He's like, every play he gets the ball, you're like, whoa. I mean, that's the kind of cat that you want to have on that team. So just say Henry got hurt in the second game. He comes in and plays. I think he can carry that load of being not just a third down back, but an all-purpose back.
Yeah, well, you figure he and Haskins are being there. We'll see what happens with Julius Chestnut. They have some other backs as well. But what else did you like? Who were some of the other players?
You know, everybody loves Peter Skinarski, but also I love Josh Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love him. I mean, what the guy, 6'7", 248. And the one thing I love about him is I watched him catch the ball because, you know, a lot of tight ends in this league catch the ball with their body.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that this guy can be special because you can have those matchups, just like you said, split him out, but he always catches the ball at the highest point, TD. So when you got a cat that's 6'7", 6'7", now, 248 pounds, and he jumps up and he's catching the ball at the highest point, it just shows you that you can throw some fades, you know, in the red zone. It shows you that you can throw the ball in a higher spot to where only he can catch the ball. So that's why I think this guy can definitely be special.
Yeah, when you have that size, man, that size is a huge, huge, huge advantage, as you mentioned, on the jump balls and those type of things. And, I mean, you look on that last play, we could kind of talk about it a little bit because he talked about it, Levis talked about it, and Mike Vrabel talked about it. I mean, look, I'm laughing because Vrabel was like, well, I don't know that we want to throw the ball into a team meeting. There were multiple defenders around there, but that's one of those things where I think he just trusted Wiley to make the catch, and Wiley went up and he made that catch, and that's an example of what he's going to need to do. Now, obviously, come Tuesday and, you know, as we continue to work through the rest of the offseason into training camp, so on and so forth, it's going to be different as far as, like, it's not going to be as easy as it was at that point. But I do think that was a good example of what you said about him being able to go get that football.
Yeah, and you said the key word is trust.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to throw to a tight end or wide receiver that you don't trust. And here's the thing, TD, is he threw the ball in a spot where only he could get it. So that just shows you that they're building camaraderie, they're building trust, and they can build something special because, man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying he's good as Gronkowski, but if he keeps developing, he can be that type of player because his run after the catch, his catch radius, and those little choice routes he can run.
Yeah, the run after the catch is a quiet thing that hasn't really been spoken about, but he has a lot of potential from that perspective, and he showed some of that too. I guess let's move on to Will Levis. Right,
okay.
Because I remember the one time he kind of ran by us, and I looked at you, and you looked back, and we were like, "Oh, yeah." Is he what Matt Hasselbeck said? Would you categorize him the same way Matt Hasselbeck did as a creative player on Madden?
A creative player. I mean, he is. He's. This is what I love about him is, and everybody take it is cockiness. But it's a quiet confidence to where I'm going to throw it and I'm just going to make plays. I mean, just watch him when he throws a good pass, the swag when he walks back to the huddle. You know, going and coaching up guys, going and coaching up, Colton Dowell and coaching up Wiley and coaching up these guys and having enthusiasm, running down the field after Wiley caught a big catch. So I love what he's doing. I love his leadership. I love that he's communicating with the coaches. And this guy wants to win. And just like when I think Colton Dowell in one of his, I think he was getting interviewed, he said he was afraid to get the remote because was so intense in studying the playbook. But that just shows you that this guy is saying, you know what, I'm not coming here to be a backup. I'm coming here to get a spot, and I'm coming here to win. That's why I love this cat.
Yeah, and even, you know, to take that a little bit further, I had asked Colton Dowell if he has taken time. Will Levis, that is, taking time to work with him on the plays and go through them. And they're doing that too. So it's like they're having, he has a bit of an advantage, Dow is, in that, you know, he's able to be there in the room and go over stuff. I'm going to watch how that connection develops because they'll obviously be working together a lot. But what about anybody else? Like Skowronski, they're not in pads, so you can't really gather much. But did anything like body type or anything that?
Yeah, Skowronski, big dude. When I was away, like when I was on the sidelines and I saw him on the field, I'm like, oh, he's not that big. But then he walked by me going to the podium. I said, this joke is huge, man. But here's what I love about him, man, is he might not talk loud, but he's got a quiet fierceness about him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like quietly, like, I like you, but I'm going to punch you in the mouth. I mean, that's what I got when he was
I still
up at the
punch
podium.
Your face.
What's that guy that went to Notre Dame to play for the Indianapolis Colts offensive line? I just went blank.
Oh, Quentin Martin. Nelson, I mean.
Okay, I got a perfect story about him. He reminds me of Quentin Nelson. I'm going to tell you why. CJ played with Quentin Nelson at Notre Dame. And, you know, he's like a funny, lucky-go guy. And, hey, you know, acting silly. So they were out one day, and they were playing around. And, you know, CJ ripped his shirt. And, you know, Quentin Nelson took off CJ's hat and split it and threw it and looked at him.
What?
And CJ said he's never, ever been that scared in his life because he went from, I'm joking with you, to, boy, if you ever do that again, I'm going to get you. So the reason why I share that story is because that's exactly how Skowronski is. Hey, I love everybody. I love life. But, man, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. That's how it is when you come in the podium. So that's why I love this pick, man.
He'll flip the script.
with the quickness, man.
Yeah. I it's going to be cool just watching that offensive line play out.
Right.
Just how everything happens. I know you always want to try to get your best five out there. So
right.
We'll see how that works. It was interesting because before I came back into the studio, I was over there with Ian. And he was cutting it up for Jarrett's show. And Pat Kerwin, former Jets GM, was like, man, Skowronski is a tackle. You let him play tackle until he can't play anymore. And I get it, you know. Yeah. And then he was like, well, Diller couldn't even beat out a rugby player. But it's just, it's that situation is very, very unique. I think Skowronski should continue to work at guard and tackle. So that way, God forbid something happens, you could move him out there and you're good. But I think the focus should be on guard.
Yeah, but here's the thing, TD, is that's why they drafted him, because he's a versatile player.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he doesn't do well at tackle, he can go to guard and vice versa. And then don't forget about Brunskill. I mean, he can be in this lineup also. So even though, you know, say if somebody gets hurt, then he can fill in, and that's what makes this guy so special, because everybody's saying, oh, he's a guard, you know, is he a tackle? It doesn't matter. He's a versatile player that can play multiple positions.
Since you mentioned Brunskill, I would say this. I think he's going to be one of those core players that's going to make this team successful. Just on the low, though, because even just in talking to him, he was talking about the conditioning and how they're working to fire off the ball and how that's going to help them be able to get defense on misdirection and just working on their first step and threatening the defense and tempo and speed. I'm like, dang, I can listen to you talk a little bit more. Yeah, it was good. So I'm going to keep an eye on him. I'm looking forward to watching him in training camp, you know, when those pads go on. But before we move on, I got to say this. I was watching Ryan Crow, the outside linebackers coach, and also Coach Lo Locus, female coach.
That's
who they brought it. Let me tell you something. Coach Lo is the truth.
Yes, she is.
She is the truth. I was watching those two work together with Caleb Murphy. Now, this joker, he had 25 and a half sacks. Now, I don't give a daggone who you're playing against. You get 25 and a half sacks, like, I'm going to look at you. And that's exactly why I walked over there during individual period, because I wanted to watch them work with him. Now, he did that at Fair State Division II. Now, I will say this. The way they were helping him, and I was watching the drills with Rhett Bryan and Coach Mack. So And I love standing next to Coach Mack because you always get advanced. Like, okay, watch TD. This is what they're going to do right here. Watch, he's going to pull him back because he was too close on that. He made his move too. Like, those are the type of things I like to get. But long story short, the way they were working with Caleb Murphy and how he was picking it up, and you just saw him get better just in that one period. He's someone low-key. Look, I think he's going to make the roster as an undrafted free agent. Like, we always look at who's going to be the undrafted free agent to make it. I think he's going to be the guy. So just keep an eye on him. He wears number 42.
Okay.
I think he's going to make it because he's long and he has that get off. He has that get off. His 10-yard split, Rhett Bryan had pointed out to me, his 10-yard split was 1.65, which is very impressive. Like, that's good. So just wanted to get that Caleb Murphy mention in there because I think he's going to be a player to watch.
Yeah, he could be one of those diamonds in the rough, like what I think it was last year, the year before with T.A. Tartt.
Exactly.
It's kind of the same thing that undrafted, nobody knows who you are. But then in the back of the mind, their coaches are like, this kid can develop into something special, and that can happen in the same situation.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, man, that went quick. But
sure,
that's what it is when you're rolling and you got so much stuff to download, and that's exactly what we did. We'll come back next week and get into it a little bit more. We'll have an OTA under the belt. We'll see. Maybe Kevin Byard shows up. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know, but that's something that I'll be watching for. In the meantime, check this out, man. I was watching Soul Train. And, you know, you know how Don Cornelius, he comes out and he introduces who's singing.
Oh, my God.
And they panned out and they panned back into the stage. And there was a guy sitting there on a chair. And he said, "If you think you're lonely now." And I said, "Is that Chris?" Then I had to slap myself and say, "No, man, that was Bobby Womack."
Why are you crazy, man? Peace out.
This is Traylon Burks, and I'm talking with TD.
You heard him bring us in. Back from the break, talking with TD, Traylon Burks intro. This is the theme music I put on for him, too. You know, when I do the walk-ins, when they come, the fit checks, I always play that Quiet Storm for Traylon Burks because that's what he's kind of come off as, a quiet player, but a storm on the field. However, I thought it was really interesting. We got to speak to him on Tuesday, and there was just a noticeable comfort level and confidence that he had with him. He cracked a couple jokes, very relaxed, opened up about some things. I thought it was really good because as the year went on, and I remember actually walking up on him at his locker the one time, and I'm like, "Man, it seems like you're getting more comfortable with us. That's what's up, man." And he said that was the case, but man, it really showed on Tuesday. And you look at just the situation with him, right? It was such a turmoil. I mean, look, he comes in, you got everybody bagging on him because of the conditioning thing, right? That word, conditioning. Obviously the asthma issue. And I mean, as Rob Moore said, man, the guy's got asthma. What are you going to do? And it was something that he had to work through. And he was able to work through that and eventually be a contributor. I mean, you look at some of the catches he had. That one against the Eagles, man, like that's, he got body rocked and he held on to that ball for the touchdown. That was a big catch for him, right? Because this is going against the Eagles. And you know what? Let me say this, too. Can we please stop comparing him to A.J. Brown? Can we please stop saying that he needs to become A.J. Brown? Let Traylon Burks be Traylon Burks. I mean, it's just, come on. Just stop it. Let him become a part of this offense and do what he has to do as opposed to demanding that he replicate what AJ. AJ Brown is gone. He's not coming back. Period. It's done. Treylon Burks is here. Allow him to find his own role and niche with this offense. If that's as a number one receiver, then I think they'll be in great shape. And I think he can develop into that number one receiver. But all number one receivers aren't the same. End of the rant. Now, as far as with this new offense, right, you got Tim Kelly coming in. He's the OC. Burks had mentioned that Tim Kelly was a mentor for him last year. I thought that was something that none of us knew that, right? He was a mentor as far as helping him learn the offense. That definitely is almost like Tim Kelly was like, yeah, I'm planting these seeds and I'm going to sprinkle that seed and it's going to grow. And what he's hoping to see this year is the flowers sprouting from that seed. But I remember back at the combine, I asked Tim Kelly, you know, what it is about Burks. Like, what does he have to do to reach that next level that you guys need him to reach to unlock this offense? Here's what he said back in March in Indianapolis.
He's making sure that he's available and he's on the field as much as possible. But yeah, just being out there and being consistent. That was the one thing that I think when he was on the field, you know, he was pretty productive. Just thinking of the goal ball that he caught against Jair in Green Bay. Like, that's a top five corner in the league that he went and beat and won and, you know, was able to make an explosive play for us. You look at the physical catcher he ended up, you know, making in Philadelphia. Like, he took a shot, held on to the ball. So he's showing all the traits that we loved when he came out. Not just a matter of him being consistent and doing it day in and day out.
For guys like him and Chig, those type of, you know, do-it-all players, like, how do you approach packaging plays and making sure these guys could get as many touches as possible?
Yeah, again, it's all about, you know, a lot of times it's dictated on the individual player. So what do they do well? How can we create different matchups on different players? And then, you know, once we're able to figure that out, putting them in that spot as many times as possible and letting them work. So for those guys, you know, with the unique skill sets, you know, it's a good challenge to have to try and find different ways to get them the ball and get them matched up in favor of the matchups. But that's why we get paid.
That is what Tim Kelly is going to be charged with, maximizing Chig Okonkwo, maximizing Treylon Burks. But you notice how he said that catch against Jair Alexander. I remember being down. I was down on the field for that. And let me tell you, that was a heck of a play. To be able to, Jair Alexander is a top level corner in this league. And to be able to beat him and go up and catch the ball the way he did and secure it through contact with the ground, that one made me, Treylon is all right. And then he came back the following week, right, with the, was it Cam Taylor Britt, I think it was, the Nebraska rookie corner for the Bengals. Play action, went up and got it. And the thing I liked about that is he got up and he was talking that talk. And that's one of the ways you know, like, when a guy feels like he arrived, because you start to see them talk a little bit more on the field. And it was just one of those things where, as he went through the season, you started to see him come out. And on Tuesday, he actually admitted, like, hey, man, I got thrown in the fire. But listen to what he said about being thrown in the fire. I loved it.
I would just speak for myself, honestly. It just gives you confidence because you've already been in it. I got thrown into the fire. And, I like being thrown into the fire, honestly, because it just makes you decide who you are, what kind of player you're going to be. And it just makes it easier on me now because I can just concentrate on the things that I know that can make me better and not worry about the stuff in the past.
So concentrate on the things that he knows will make him better. I like it. When you want to do that, that means you realize that there were some things that went well, but some things that didn't go quite as well. And that's why the start to the offseason through now, Treylon Burks has been here in Nashville. He didn't go to Miami or wherever, to Costa Rica, wherever, and train. He said he's going to train right here in Nashville to get used to what it is here. You don't believe what I say? Listen to him. He'll tell you himself what he's doing.
I would just say that's why I've been here. Just making sure that I'm running in the heat. When I do get that feeling, you know, I know how to control it now. Just being here with Todd and running with him out there, or running with the strength coaches. Frank doing a good job of, you know, managing what I'm doing and not overdoing something. So it just all goes back to me being here throughout the whole offseason.
So he said, you know, he's going to be faster because he could breathe. And the reason why he's going to be able to breathe is because of what he's doing now and what he's done up to this point. You got to be impressed with that. Working with Todd Torricelli, Frank Perano, these guys are making sure that, you know, in practices or their workouts there, that he's not too much overexerting himself, but still pushing it enough. But they're monitoring that. And it's funny. Another part of the confidence, right? You go back to that video, the Titans video where they're on the sled workout. You see him pushing Racy McMath. You see him pushing Kyle Phillips, you know, telling them to come on. And then it's a sled relay, right? And just like at every relay, the person you feel is your strongest leg is that last one, the anchor, right? So at the end of the video, they're pushing the sled and it goes over the line. And guess who's pushing it over the line and falls after, you know, you push it? Treylon Burks. And he looks up and he says, "Dub." You got to love it. You got to love it. And all of this is for one reason. And I'm not going to explain that reason. I'll let Treylon Burks explain that reason, because this is why he's doing all of this, because he doesn't want to have one of these.
Mainly, man, my biggest thing was not repeating on what I did last year. Coming into the off season, and I feel like that I've mastered that and can keep going, getting better with a lot of the formations and concepts of our new stuff, and just having fun, really. That's the main thing, just having fun, not having that stress on coming in as a rookie, like trying to prove this guy this, prove the coach this, just having fun, man.
Right.
Man.
There it is right there. Not repeating what happened last season. Progress. He's looking to move forward. Not much more you could ask for out of the second-year player who is going to have a lot placed on his shoulders. Because, you know, they didn't go out and they didn't draft Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They didn't, you know, trade back and take Zay Flowers. They didn't sign free agent receiver X. They signed Chris Moore, who I think will play a supporting role. And I think that signing right there, it's good that they brought a veteran in. Now, what will his impact be? I can't tell you. I don't think it's going to be tremendous, but still having that veteran in there so Burks doesn't have to be the veteran of the group, right? I think that's a big thing. So it was a good move from that perspective. And then you still have Rob Moore, who has worked extensively with all of the receivers, and we'll see how that group pans out. We know it's definitely an area that we will be focusing on, and it's an area that is going to have to step up if this offense is going to elevate and this team is going to be better than 500. So that's pretty much it, man. Next week, well, we got on the 23rd, we will have a OTA opportunity. So we'll definitely, you know, bring you the tweets and the information from there. That'll be the focus of next week's show. In the meantime, definitely shout out Chris Sanders and his wild self always coming on. You know, even though he looks like Mookie Blaylock, we'll still work through it, man. Definitely continue to have him on the show. Shout out to David James making this thing happen.
Always fun, brother.
Yeah, it's always good times, man. Making it go, man. I appreciate you. And above all else, man, shout out to each and every one of you just tuning in, checking us out. Definitely continue to give us that love on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes. Search Talking With TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.